bless you.
God bless you.
Well, certainly is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I thank God for all He does, all He is, and all He's going to be. I thank God for saving me February the 17th, 1988. And I probably wasted a lot of years. It's been, what, about 36 years since I was saved, and probably about 9 of those years were not as productive as I should have been. But I know that God convicted me of all that. I finally got in the right doctrine and finally got straightened out. And I know that I'm glad that tonight the Lord had mercy on me and gave me time and space to learn and to grow. I'm thankful for that tonight. I really appreciate that. Well, before I preach, I'll say this. I'm glad that the Lord knows me and I know Him. I'm glad He said in Philippians 3 and verse 10 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. So I'm thankful tonight that I know Him and He knows me. I know that a lot of people know of Him and about Him, and that was the way I was for a long time. I knew of Him and about Him, but I didn't really know Him. But praise God, as of February 17th, 1988, I came to know Him, and He came to live in my heart. And my body is the temple where the Holy Spirit lives. And I'm thankful tonight for that. And now I can really understand the importance of the power of His resurrection. I'm glad for that. I can also understand the fellowship of His suffering. I mean, I've suffered some, but nowhere near like our Lord did. I mean, I'm just so glad that I have been able to fellowship with Him in suffering to some degree. But I'm glad that one day when I stand before Him, I will know for sure that He is the one that paid the price for my salvation, and I'll be able to bow the knee. I'll be able to throw my hands up. I'll be able to do whatever is the thing to do to praise my Lord and to look upon His face. I'm looking for that. And I know that right now I'm being made conformable unto His death. I'm glad for that. And I'm looking for the day when we'll be together with Him. And we'll be out of these old bodies. And like the preacher said this morning, we'll have those glorified bodies. And everything will be sweet. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Well, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 5. We're going to talk about the pretenders tonight. The pretenders. You know about the pretenders, don't you? If you know your Bible, we'll just share some thoughts with you about the pretenders. Hopefully, if anyone is a pretender, you'll quit pretending and get real. And hopefully that if you know someone who's pretending, you can share it with them, you know, and they'll, quit being a pretender. You know, the church is the place where the pretenders need to come because they need help. They really need help to quit pretending and get real, don't they? I want to be real. What about you? Amen. All right, let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for the privilege to stand before the people and preach Your word. Thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy and love to us. Thank You for all You do for us and all You have given us. Lord, we know, Father, that without You, we'd have nothing. We could be nothing and we would be nothing. And so, Lord, we're thankful tonight that You've helped us so much, and we just give You all glory and honor tonight for what You've done for us. Father, help me, Lord. I need Your help. If ever is a time I need You, it's now. So, Lord, I pray, God, You'd help. And thank You for what You do now in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And you know what that meant. He died right there. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, bound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. And carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And the fear of the Lord came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the words of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multiples, both men and women. So we'll stop reading right there. Now we see that this is the early church. This is the church in Jerusalem. You know, and what were these two doing that we should avoid as much as possible? You know, these two were trying to present themselves to be more spiritual than they were. If you go back and read in the book of Acts, earlier, you'll find that the church had agreed to take money from property sold and put it together and use it for the church and to help those in need and to help get the gospel. And so that's what they were trying to do. And so here are these people coming, and they saw one before them whose name was Joseph. And Joseph came, and he did what they agreed to do. He sold the property and brought all the money in and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And of course, the apostles recognized that. They honored him for doing so. And Joseph was such a believer, strong in the faith, that they called him Barnabas. And Barnabas is meant to be the encourager. His name is Encourager. And so Barnabas is wanting to encourage people, and here these people are trying to deceive people. And actually, if they had just done the right thing, if they had just brought in what was sold and said, well, we kept back part of it. We wouldn't be talking about this story tonight. If they'd just done what they should have done and not lied to God and lied to the Holy Ghost, as Peter said. And we see here, in the book of Proverbs, there are seven sins that are an abomination to the Lord. If you read them in Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 19, you could turn over there and read them. But two of those sins were committed during this early church, kind of the birth of the church. These two sins, the lying tongue, both of them lied about what they did, and a proud look. They were trying to get, if a person is trying to exhibit pride, what are they doing? They're trying to take away the glory from God and give it to themselves. That's what Satan did, didn't he? So Ananias means the Lord is gracious. And Sapphira means beautiful. Their names were right, but at the moment, they were not living right. Now, these people had joined the church, and they had become a part of it, and yet we know as well that you and I could be the same way. You know, sometimes we get away with things so much that we think we can take advantage of opportunities, and sometimes we get in a habit of not paying attention to what we're doing, and we don't really know sin or don't look at it. Sometimes when we get in that condition, we don't look at sin from God's point of view. You know, God is a holy God. God hates sin, and he wants us to avoid sin. In fact, sin separates us from God. So we want to try to live a holy life as much as possible. Try to live being aware of sin and knowing that God doesn't like it. And remember what the Scripture said. As I've said many times, I have to keep the Scripture in my mind because that helps me when it gets in my heart. And when I'm tempted to sin, it reminds me, hey, don't you remember what God said? You stay away from that sin. So, a lot of people are used to pretending. So beware of pretending. Oh, what a one of the writers said, oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. We do not want to deceive people. We don't want to deceive the people of God. And we're not deceiving God. No matter what, we can't hide the truth from God. God knows when we're pretending. God knows what we are. He knows. You know, I used to work with a lot of people who would pretend to be Christians. And probably you have as well. One guy would come up to me on Monday morning. Oh, God's been so good. On and on, God's been so good. And I said, yes, brother, God's been good. But 10 minutes later, I'd hear him over on the other side cursing like a sailor. And so he saw me one day when he was doing that. He looked at me and he said, Carl, he said, what do you call someone who blesses the Lord one minute and curses the Lord the next minute? He said, what do you call them? I said, well, I'll tell you what Jesus called them. And Jesus called them hypocrites. So, we need to be aware of those who are pretending. And we know people say, well, I don't come to church because of the pretenders. Well, that's not so. I mean, you know, the pretenders ought to be in church. They ought to hear the word. They go to the grocery store with the pretenders. They go to the gas station with the pretenders. That doesn't mean that just because someone else is pretending that you have to pretend or that I have to pretend. We don't have to do that. No. In fact, I tell them, well, look, if you don't like to be with the pretenders, won't you come and help us show people how not to be pretenders? That's what we're trying to do. You know, so The four features of this sin are, it was energized by Satan, wasn't it? This sin was energized by Satan. The Lord didn't energize this sin, no. It was by Satan. And anytime sin is energized, Satan is all behind it. It's the work of Satan. Satan's doing that. Even in the early church, As Ben was teaching this morning in Sunday school, anytime that we're trying to do a work of the Lord, there's a fight. There's a fight even in the church. And so even in the early church, there were some who were trying to, that the devil would use, Satan himself would use, to try to hinder the work of the Lord. So the second thing is it was operated, this sin was operated by pride. Pride goes before destruction. We know a haughty spirit before a fall. And pride is the root of all sin, isn't it? It's what got Satan, Lucifer kicked out of heaven, and a third of the angels went with him because of pride. Pride is behind sin. Pride just simply means I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it my way. That's pride. And pride is something that a lot of people have trouble with. And I think at some point in time, we all have had trouble with pride and all sometimes still do have pride. But we'd better be careful, and we'd better follow the Lord, keep the Lord in front. And I pray the Lord help us to deal with that pride and keep it away from us. This sin was the third thing. It was against the church. This was a sin that the church had agreed to do this and had agreed to come together and to work together. But yet there were some who were trying to make it look like they might have had more property to sell than Barnabas. We don't know. The Bible didn't say. But they might have had more money for just turning in a little part of it than what Barnabas did. We don't know. But we know that they didn't turn in all of it. And the Holy Ghost revealed that to Peter, and Peter let it be known. And so God has said in his word, be sure, not think about it or it might happen, but be sure your sin will find you out. That's right, it will. We cannot cover it up. When God wants to expose it, we might cover it for a while, but God can and will expose. And I know of many people who kept it covered for a while, and God exposed it. We've seen plenty of examples in our own life. We've seen what David tried to do in the Bible with Bathsheba, how he tried to cover it up, but God exposed it. You know, that's what happens. And God's word never fails. And the fourth thing is the Holy Spirit or God's Holy Ghost judged this sin because it was a sin that was against the church. And Peter said, you've not lied to us, but you've lied unto God and you've lied unto the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost, as a part of the Godhead, God judged this sin immediately. Immediately. God didn't wait. You know, we're blessed to some degree, I guess. Not, but sometimes we get away with a lot, and we think, well, God ain't going to do nothing about it. You know, maybe it was all right, and then when judgment comes, oh no, I know I shouldn't have done that. I should have never done that. You know, so we got to be careful and not forget that God does judge sin. I think partly in the day and hour which we live is that it might be that we're so led to sin in so many churches today. That God just doesn't bring judgment now immediately like he did because he wanted to get the church started right. God wanted the church to be started right, so he brought judgment immediately. And now we've, the Laodicean era, the age in which we live, the Bible said, the John said, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But yet you say you have reached an increase with goods and have need of nothing. But really what he was telling them is spiritually, you're bankrupt. You're just bankrupt. And, you know, a lot of churches have gotten into that condition. And I thank God that we have a pastor here who wants to help us to stay on the right track. I thank God for people here who love the Lord and people here. We want to serve God, and we want to glorify God and do what's right. And, you know, Satan is a liar, and when we lie, we're working with him, and God will judge it. And, we're This sin, it also hindered the church from the inside. You know, from within the church. That sin was done there. And, you know, we don't want to be sin working within the church. I mean, we would expect a non-believer to come in, and we can expect all kinds of behavior from non-believers. But we as believers are to be examples of believers in both words and deed, right? We're supposed to be the example, and we're supposed to live right and do right. We don't want sin to be working within the church. That will hinder our winning souls. That'll hinder our work. That'll hinder us if we let sin get in on the inside. And this sin happened at a time of revival. The church was in revival. I mean, souls were getting saved, heart and life. And here was this sin coming in. And of course, we know that when we're a pretender, we're never going to help people to come to the Lord. I mean, we never will. If we just be ourselves and tell what the Lord truthfully has done for us and tell what we have experienced in salvation, that we're not the same as we used to be. We're not the old man we used to be. That we're all, as Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. So, we understand about Christians sharing. Joseph did the right thing. He brought his part in and shared it with the church. And that God blessed that. And if you and I will share the right way in our tithes and offerings to the Lord, God will bless that. I'll tell you that. I'm not preaching on tithes, but I can tell you one thing. God's blessed me time and time again. I mean, God, I'll tell you one thing. You can't outgive God. There's no way you can. If you'll just let God use you as preacher was saying Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, we were talking about how God has given us so much and blessed us. But you know what? It's all God's. All of it is. And God knows that we need to have things for to support ourselves. We need jobs and we need food and we need to pay bills and all that. We should, no problem. But, you know, we ought to realize that this whole world is God's world because he created it. It's not ours. My little place over there on Pounding Mill Loop, that doesn't belong to me. That belongs to God. Everything in my possession belongs to God. God has allowed me to use it while I'm here. But you know what? When I leave it, when I leave this world, I'm going to leave it too. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to leave it right behind, right here with this world. I don't need it when I get to heaven. But we realize that Satan can work in the offering, and that's what he did right there. He whispered to Ananias and his wife, "Hey, look what Barnabas, look what he did. Look at all the attention he got." I mean, I know that he probably didn't, but he put it in their mind anyway. Look what attention they got, or that Barnabas got. See, yeah, we got property. Well, we could get that attention too. So let's just do this. You know, let's just pretend we gave it and we'll give part of it. And so God exposed it. And, envy and jealousy in the church is one thing that we don't need. Just because God blessed someone for doing right, we should praise the Lord and honor them for doing right, like the church did. But there were some who wanted to do the opposite and be used by Satan. So pride is the sin of all sins. And giving is voluntarily, isn't it? We don't have, I mean, we should do it. We know we should. But, you know, we've got to, you know, God, he's not going to say, look, you know, if you don't give, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, we give with a free will, and we're cheerful givers. We give freely because we want to give. We don't give because we have to. I mean, you know, if we serve God, well, I've got to do this. and I have to do that. You know, a bunch of rules, you know what will happen? That will create a rebellious attitude in us. If we simply go by, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. No, we serve God willingly, and we do what God wants us to do willingly. We do not do it in a forceful manner. God doesn't force us to do it. He doesn't force us to serve Him. So we ought to remember, keep that attitude. We don't need to make people think that we're more spiritual than we are. We just serve God and do what God's asked us to do. Just be ourselves and do what God's asked us to do. And, you know, there are many, many ways that people, you know, try to be more spiritual than they really are. You know, it can be done in many ways. You've seen it done it can be done in praying, preaching, testifying, all kinds of things. Pride robs God of His glory. We don't want to do that. We want to give God all the glory He deserves. And if it wouldn't be for God, we wouldn't have nothing. We'd be nothing. We could have nothing because God has given us everything. And so we need to remember that we are worshiping corporately in here. And, you know, when I'm at home and you're at home, you should be the same way that you, and I should be, we should be, the same way in, at home as we are in church. I mean, you know, nothing wrong. I mean, you know, we ought to worship God. I know a lot of times I'll be singing and shouting and just praising the Lord and reading and studying and just enjoying the blessings of the Lord. What a wonderful time that is. And I can be alone in my home. Everybody else is going off doing what they're doing. Or I can just enjoy the presence of the Lord. And sometimes I'll sing and glorify God when my sister's in there. She looks at me like, well, what are you doing? But I'm just glad I can worship the Lord, you know, and sing and shout and give testimony of the Lord's goodness and mercy. So the church is where most of God's work is done. We want to do it together. We're doing that corporately. And so we want to work together and be careful. And we want to be careful what we say. And we want to be careful what we do. And because we are the temple of God. The church is also the temple of God. And it's the body of Christ, in other words. It's the body of Christ. And your bodies and my body, as believers, we're also a part of the body of Christ. And so we thank God that God wants us to have a reverential fear. We have a reverential fear, a respectful fear. I don't fear the Lord like I would a snake or some kind of wild animal, but I do have a reverential fear of the Lord. I want to obey the Lord because He is holy. I mean, you know, that's the big problem with a lot of people today. And in the hour and day which we live, there is no fear of God. These people apparently had no fear of God. They just went on and did it and thought they could get by with it. But God struck both of them dead at the very, very time they did it in the church where people would know what happened. And so God has a way of exposing sin. And the result of the judgment of God is the absence is an indication of spiritual poverty. You know, we got to be careful that when we're not here in the house of the Lord, we're not living right, not doing right. You know, we might be saved, but we're drifting into spiritual poverty. We don't want to get that far. We don't want to get that far away from God. No, we want to stay close to God and serve God and do His will. All right. Well, I don't want to be a Pharaoh preacher and keep you longer than I should. Not let God's people go. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank You for the truth of Your word. Thank You for what You've done for us. And God, help us, Lord, to be real in faith and be real and practice what we preach as preachers and teachers and as Your servants, as Christians. We ought to practice the word of God, put it into practice, live by it, and be real. We thank You, O Lord, for what You do for us. And we give You praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you. Turn it back over to you.